apart.
Well, hi there. Come on in and set a spell, neighbors. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions. And, well, just generally speaking, to brighten up your Saturday. Good morning, Mae.
Good morning, Fred. And thank you. It's a lovely day, isn't it, Fred? Actually, I believe it's going to turn warm. And thank you so much, Fred. And good morning, dear friends. I wish I could see all of you this morning. Oh, I wish we could see through radio. Had a hole or something here in this mic where I could see you all. All in a bunch. It would really be some crowd. There's nothing I love more than people. And there are so many more good people in this world than there are bad people, even if we do often doubt that. It's a fact. There are more good than there are bad. There are all sorts of people, and the people who are bad often are not altogether to blame for it. It's some unfortunate destiny that has been their lot and some scars of their childhood. It's still a beautiful world, I'm always telling you. One time an old lady visited me, and she had been operated on for some serious trouble in a hospital in Kansas City. And she'd come out of it splendidly. She's way long in her 80s. And she said something that stuck with me I'll never forget. She said, "Well, I'm glad. I didn't want to die. You know, I like it here." And I've often thought of that. So do I like it here. And they would have to make this old world a lot tougher than it is to get me to where I'd want to leave it. I don't believe in the theory that man was born to just sit here and live his life in disappointment and frustration, just waiting and hoping for eternity. I think we were meant to enjoy this old world to the utter limit, if possible. If not, why were such grand things put here for us? Why did the Creator come to paint the orchid and set the soft pink dye in the apple blossom in spring, and make the heady, exotic perfume in the magnolia? Wish I could smell a magnolia. That was a lot of trouble for the Creator to go to just to adorn a world of worry and mourning. But there are people who live and die, and they've never really lived. People whose emotional nature has been allowed to wither and sour, and who know nothing about love. People with cold, calculating calendar minds. Their minds like a calendar. Lives narrow and warped and blinded by prejudices, believing that God is a monster who's going to burn them forever and forever if they make some mistakes. How could people believe that of a God of whom the Bible says that as a father pitieth his children, so doth God pity us? And then there are people who go through life frightened, lonely people, hurt with life some way. People with no light or hope or poetry or song. And then there's stingy people, and how stinginess warps the human soul. And then jealous and envious people, oh, that's bad. They hurt themselves so much worse than anybody else. You know, the Bible says jealousy is cruel as the grave. Read those very words in the Song of Solomon. It is, it's cruel as the grave. But it also says right after that, love is as strong as death. Yes, the Bible knows all the answers, doesn't it? I heard a great preacher one time preach about Jesus Christ. He preached on the subject, the man who knew all the answers. It was a wonderful sermon. Well, thanks for the people who wrote and told me that they studied the blueback speller and could spell all the big words I spelled. I don't have their names right at hand just this moment. This has been a kind of mixed up week for me. But I can lay my hands on them by next Saturday. I'll tell you all of them. I remember my friend Dooney McBride at Licking, Missouri. She sent me a card. She was one of them. I'll bet on Dooney every time. By the way, Dooney's a water witch. She can tell you where water is. I'm always telling that on her, and it's God's truth. Every one of her family could. And a doctor wrote me some jawbreakers he used to spell in the old book. I'll tell you about his jawbreakers next Saturday. You know, many people write me and ask if I know about certain old things and ways and customs. A lot of them, I believe, think that I lived 200 years ago. Well, it wasn't quite that long. In my 18 years in radio, it seems to me I've been asked a million questions about the old things, but I don't mind it. And they say we love to hear about the old things. Well, there is so little on radio for people who love to hear about the old times that I guess they are hungry to hear about them. I wish I could tell you about them every day, at least the things that I remember. This week a woman wrote and asked me if I remembered what kids used to play with for toys and so on. That nowadays they had every gadget that the mind of man could think up, and that it used to take so little to please a child. An old tin can playing shinny or something or anything. And she said, did I ever see a cornstalk fiddle when I was a child? Well, I should say so. I've owned many a fiddle. And she said, did you ever make dolls with corn silks for hair? My, yes, I should say so. Or she said, did I ever steal out and smoke grapevine? Well, I think I did that once or twice. I don't think I was ever much attached to smoking. But I know the kids did that, and the boys brought that grapevine to school to smoke and thought they were big guys if they could get it hid. Well, we kids, I remember one thing. My cousins and me, two of us, we got out my uncle's old strong pipe and stole out and smoked it when I was about 11, and it laid me out like dead. Unconscious. I'll never forget that. And a woman wrote me, she said, this same woman, she said, did you ever ride a stick horse? Well, I'll say so. And I wonder if any little kids ride a stick horse anymore. And I remember also that we girls didn't ride a straddle on that stick horse. Indeed, we didn't. We draped our dresses, a dress tail, as we'd call it, over the stick as if it were a side saddle. And so our stick horse riding turned out to be pretty much of a failure because we couldn't keep her dress over that stick draped over it. But not for worlds would we have ridden a stick horse astraddle. Why, we wouldn't do that in the darkest night by ourselves. You know, girls didn't do that. One time I bought a stick horse with a horse's head on it in a store on Christmas for my first grandson, and I thought, oh, this is going to be wonderful. You know, he didn't have the faintest idea what I was trying to teach him to do. And I couldn't teach him to ride it at all, or couldn't even explain it to him. And I think he thought I was crazy. So he took the stick horse and used it for a gun. He knew a gun all right, yeah. Television and radio and everything else. He learned the gun and plays and movies. When I was a child, a little boy who could ride a stick horse and make it buck and caper in front of the little girls and then have a wild runaway, that little boy was a hero. And his ride was as thrilling as any slam-bang cowboy that you ever saw on television. And they made bridles for the stick horses out of elm bark. And we played Pussy Wants a Corner. Don't suppose to play it anymore. And Jiggity Jiggity Windy Cup, How Many Fingers Do I Hold Up? And we rode imaginary trains on big flat rocks. We'd never ridden a train, and most of them had never seen one. But do you know there's a lot of grown folks right now who live within throwing distance of a train who never rode one in their lives? Many of them in Springfield, because they always ride in automobiles. A woman wrote to ask me about old remedies. Well, of course, I know so many it'd take me a month to tell you about them. But I have to tell you this. One time an old man was sick down our way, and a woman came to wait on him. And she was giving him some of her home remedies. This one was 6 lemons, the juice squeezed out, and a cup of sugar. Let that boil, and when it cooled off, put in a pint of whiskey. Well, he didn't get any better, whatever it was ailed him. So he said to her, I'm a-getting up from this here bed. I'm a-going to just drink the whiskey and rub the lemons on my shins. Well, it was a great world. I've often said that I've lived from the ox cart to the airplane. Well, the ox cart to the atomic bomb now. Not many oxen when I was a kid, no. They were passing out as I passed in. But I've seen several teams of oxen in the little town when I was little. And I had the thrill of riding in the first rubber-tired buggy that came to our little town alongside of a feller with a lemon-colored mustache. And he was my feller, too. And I watched the first locomotive come into our hills and valleys. And that was some thrill, believe me. Everybody in the country was down there to see it come in, to watch the Bagner branch of the Missouri Pacific. I remember one old woman who hated to see the train come into our town. She said she despised its carrying on, but she'd be willing for it to come if she knew that the first engine that struck, she called it an engine, the first engine that struck the town would hit Uncle Joe Melton's old sow and grease the track with her for 40 miles. And you couldn't blame her. You know, we never dreamed of such a thing as a stock law. And stock just roamed everywhere, all night and all the time, all over the yard. This old sow was the meanest old sow you ever saw. Everybody in town hated her. She could root up a 40-acre field or pick a lock. She could drink buttermilk out of a jug or crack hickory nuts through a rail fence. So she roamed all night over the yards and the back porches and often pulling clothes off of the line, tearing them up. Well, the train came, but that old sow had 9 lives and it took more than a string of boxcars to put her out of commission. She lived to a good old age and was gathered to her ancestors with an honorable death. Well, yes, it was a great country and a great life, and I wouldn't have missed it for anything. It was the country of the heart. Those days are gone forever. Now we have a crass civilization and a lot of crazy Americans cavorting around, hunting excitement and wasting their substance, acting like a fat pony in high oats. One time a real estate chap was trying to sell a young business widow a home. He said, "Home, what do I need with it?" She said, "Home, what do I need with a home? I was born in a hospital, courted and proposed to in an automobile, married in a church. I live out of restaurants and paper sacks. I spend my mornings on the golf course, my afternoons at the clubs, and my evenings at the movies. When I die, I'll be buried from an undertaker's parlor. I don't need a home. All I need's a garage." She told the truth. And it reminds me about the matrimonial club that is trying to get a woman a husband. She said, "A husband? What do I want with a husband? I've got a chimney that smokes, a parrot that cusses, and a cat that stays out all night. What do I need with a man?" So, well, now let me tell you, I'm grateful for a lot of stamps again this week from people everywhere. My time's up, and I'll tell you more about it next week. It's wonderful. Keep sending them any kind of stamps. And keep this thought with you. Let nothing disturb you. Nothing affright you. All things are passing, but love never changeth. I'll see you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.